In a world hungry for truth, one podcast dares to challenge the status quo. Get ready to wake up, ask the tough questions, and demand the unfiltered truth. Wake your ass up with Tam Lawrence. With Tam Lawrence.
I've traveled around the world, made audiences roar with laughter, and now I'm ready to dive into the heart of the matter.
Tam Lawrence, a global thought leader and media mogul, brings you captivating conversations that cut through the noise.
Join me as we unravel the stories of political figures, entrepreneurs, Hollywood celebrities, award-winning authors, educators, and more.
This is real journalism. No holds barred. No sugarcoating. Get ready for content that will keep you on the edge of your seat.
Are you ready for shocking truths that will challenge your assumptions?
It's time to put aside the ordinary and embrace the extraordinary. Wake your ass up with Tam Lawrence.
Join me every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The truth awaits.
Hungry for truth, one podcast dares to challenge the status quo. Get ready to wake up, ask the tough questions, and demand the unfiltered truth. Wake your ass up with Tam Lawrence. With Tam Lawrence.
I've traveled around the world, made audiences roar with laughter, and now I'm ready to dive into the heart of the matter.
Tam Lawrence, a global thought leader and media mogul, brings you captivating conversations that cut through the noise.
Join me as we unravel the stories of political figures, entrepreneurs, Hollywood celebrities, award-winning authors, educators, and more.
This is real journalism. No holds barred. No sugarcoating. Get ready for content that will keep you on the edge of your seat.
Are you ready for shocking truths that will challenge your assumptions?
It's time to put aside the ordinary and embrace the extraordinary. Wake your ass up with Tam Lawrence.
Join me every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The truth awaits.
Wild Out with 4 minutes with you on Wake Your Ass Up podcast. Today, I'm going over some really tough things as far as leadership around the office. And I know a lot of times people talk about leadership and soft skill trainings and in different directions that they think leadership should go in. But today, I had the pleasure and the honor of reviewing our relationships with leaders, whether we have been to Washington, D.C. with them, or we've traveled around the country to go to different events and meet people in leadership positions. I don't know if you understand what the nature of why my podcast today is about leadership, and you're such a phenomenal person in leadership with 20 years of experience in the pharmaceutical and developing leaders within your own company. I am so excited to have this conversation with you because I feel like we have leaders today who are so worried about being influential and influencers online and not really the moral obligation to society, whether they're taking photo ops and doing, you know, everything to build up their brand versus helping the people in which they set out to help from the beginning. Are we losing that moral obligation to the audience in which we should serve in the space of leadership? Or is it about, are people becoming camera whores?
Camera, oh my goodness, Tam, what a topic. it's a little bit of all of that, and social media has certainly not helped. Now, it depends on the level of leadership, but there is this thing out there that where a lot of leaders are looking for attention or they want that clout or whatever. And when that attention is on them, what happens when, you know, the proverbial SH, you know what I'm talking about, hits the fan, things just fall down. They fall apart real quick. It's like a house of cards, because you haven't built up a groundswell of support by being that servant leader, whereas you really pour into others. And so when it's all about yourself, and then you're putting all this stuff out there, but it's all pointing back to you, and then something goes wrong, it falls apart real quick, and you got nobody there to support you. Now you become the fall guy, right? Versus if your focus is on all of those that you serve with and that serve you or that report to you, if you are a servant leader and you're really focused on how can I make this culture and this environment conducive to you being your best self, to you, achieving what you want in your career, how can I create this environment and give you the resources to be hugely successful and thereby making this organization successful, then when stuff don't go right, now you got people like, yo, let's roll up our sleeves and get this done. Let's work on this. Let's fix this. Versus people scurrying like roaches into hiding spots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so how do we in the space of leadership, how does one find an algorithm that says, hey, I may be a little off? Because have you ever talked to a police officer or somebody that's in case management and the person sounds like they're desensitized to their emotional connection to humans? Because some of these jobs and performances in leadership, sometimes they're soured by people becoming complacent, right? They get to the point where they're just so, you ever meet a correctional officer, everybody in the world is, guilty of something because he's worked in that environment for so long. And so people, is there a way to create an algorithm to say, hey, wait a minute, my leadership may be off? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, I don't know about an algorithm, but I do know about leadership assessments. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I'm certified in. So I know some things about assessments, but this is where assessments really come into play, because there's different assessments out there, but they can measure very specific aspects of leadership. And so let's say an organization is looking at someone for a senior leadership position. And they say, you know what, these are the types of leader behaviors that we need in our leader to bring us to the next level. So they can administer an assessment to that leader, look for these behaviors among others, and get a 360 evaluation on those same leader behaviors. So meaning that the leader themselves will take the assessment and evaluate themselves. And then those that they work with will evaluate them. Those that they report to will reevaluate them. And those that report to them currently will evaluate them. So you get a 360-degree look at, okay, this is how you show up. You may think you show up a certain way, but when you get that 360-degree evaluation that is blinded, so you don't know who said what, where people can, feel that I can be honest and give you this feedback. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, okay, this is how you're showing up. Here are your blind spots. Here's what's important to being a leader in general. Here's what's important to being a leader in this organization. And this is how you're showing up. Now you can put together a very specific development plan, if applicable, and if they want to proceed in that direction, to say, okay, you know what, we believe in you, but you got some gaps here that you really need to focus in on. So it's not really an algorithm, but it is very specific feedback on very specific aspects of leadership that you can dig into and target.
When we talk about leadership in this capacity, in this administration with Biden, so many organizations in the African American community have been funded, and people have been we've been amazed to see so much happening, whether it's the Minority Economic Development in Washington, D.C. being funded, so many people coming to, you know, 6-7-figure job opportunities with this thing. But what we're not seeing is a change in the economy for small minority-owned businesses. We see a lot of organizations being funded. So what happens is you get more people signing up for the money, and now the money is kind of dwindled down and just dispersed all over the place, and no real true accountability, no way to measure where does that money go to? How does it help the organization members? So I see a lot of the people who run these organizations, whether there's a chamber or there's another, you know, alliance group or whatever the case is, I see the presidents of these organizations thriving and surviving and flying all over the country. But what I don't see is the members that are associated with that organization leveling up. Like, I don't see a lot of Black, or I'm going to say African-American businesses or women-owned businesses thriving at that level based on the help that was supposed to be provided from this particular leadership during this administration.
Wow. Yeah, that is a problem, and I don't know. There's not a simple answer to it.
A simple answer. It's called abuse of power. You see it so often, and it's abuse of power. It's a moral injury. I was looking up this piece called Moral Injury. And before I go into moral injury and explain what I mean by that, I got to say this book called Consumption has taught me so much about what leaders need to know about consumption. Sometimes less is more and more is too much. You understand what I'm saying? There's always this demand for, I need people to see me here, and I need people to see me here, and I need to be riding in a Bentley, and I need to be riding in, and then you lose the focus of what you came to do. So is it a photo op opportunity? Do you want to be known as you want celebrity status? Or do you want to be known for being a Martin Luther King who parted, you know, Red Seas throughout our community so that people would have opportunities, right? So I think that people have, we've convoluted the value of leadership down to no value, no true value, or it's not a trusted entity any longer where you can trust, you know, the person who's supposed to be out there on the front line rooting for your community, whereas this person who's out there that's the president of this organization is flying all over the country and getting speaking opportunities off the back of saying that this person represents the minority as a whole.
Hello.
Or coerce the people.
Hello. Well, here's the thing. See, I mean, you did talk about it in terms of accountability. Well, who's holding who accountable? You know, and to these organizations that are getting funding, where is that money coming from? Who's giving them the funding? And part of the problem is they want funds, and they've been getting funds from major big time corporations. Well, guess what? How many major big time corporations are owned or Black owned? Not too many. So therefore their avatar, they're people that they kowtow to and spend time with are not our people. Our people have more small businesses and are more entrepreneurial. But our people in those small business and entrepreneurial businesses are not funding those organizations. So they don't answer to us. Mm-hmm. They answer to the big corporations that are, you know, white owned in most cases. You know, that are big manufacturing bases.
But what we've seen with the Biden administration is that he has funded, you know, organizations that are minority ran. There's the Black Chamber of Commerce, the U.S. Black Chamber of Commerce. You know how many Black Chamber of Commerce is in it? I keep running out of space for them, okay? So you got the Urban League, the Black Alliance, and this group and that group, and all of these groups, the people who are really thriving are usually going to be the president. And the people who they're supposed to be providing support for are less likely to see that support. So it's a cluster of people who I would say it's a clique of people that if you're not in the groups, you don't get the benefits.
Right. And if you ain't in that clique.
Right. But every business owner doesn't have time to try and run in the clique. Like, we don't have time for that. If you're from Wisconsin, you didn't go to a historical Black college, so you don't even know the people that you're not in a clique because you didn't go to a historical Black college, right? If you didn't pledge because you didn't pledge AKA or you're not a Sigma Gamma Rho, you're not a Delta, then you're still out. So let me just say this. Black people within our own community have so many divides.
Yes.
That we don't really have to worry about racism dividing us. When we're divided as a whole, in first place, there is no unity amongst us.
Very little. And again, it goes back to that whole accountability. Like, who's drawing attention to this? Like, who's raising the alarms, like, to say, hey, y'all have the resources here to help us. Why is it getting stuck? Why is it so hard to get a return phone call? If I'm not in that mm-hmm. clique, like who mm-hmm. are you serving? But who is, who's holding them accountable? Is media? Probably not, unless mainstream media picks up on a story. But they're not focused on that.
Well, I gotta say this because I'm gonna step in. Wake Your Ass Up is holding people accountable because we're
Hello.
Talking about it, and I'm gonna continue to keep talking about it because I think people really have to question the authority that you're under. We were
Hello.
Just, if you read in one of my articles that I wrote in Exposure Magazine, it talks about the billions of dollars that even mega churches have taken in. So who's the biggest tither in the country? I'm not going to say African Americans because we play second to the Catholic community, but we are very big on tithing. Tithing did $1 billion. $1 billion
One
and over.
Billion.
Come on, somebody. So the mega churches are making money, but we still see an increase of poverty in our communities, right? Like, you don't see mega churches going. I mean, I'm not going to say that because T.D. Jakes does an absolutely wonderful job. Reverend Vance does a wonderful major job. There's so many incredible pastors that are doing the work, right? Someone else who I think is just phenomenal and incredible is John Hope Bryant. He's a leader, and he's a true leader. You see this man on the forefront, really, because it really depends on who mentored you, because he was mentored by people like Dr. C.T. Vivian, but he is a protege, or I would say the prodigal son of Andrew. And so Dr. Andrew, I just seen his name in front of me. And so I got to say that I think that it comes down to this. The algorithm is really who mentored you.
Yeah,
mentored you. Because if you were mentored on ethics, responsibility, moral obligation, and to take care of the people first.
This goes back to leadership. This goes back to the leadership tree. Who are you influenced by? Who are you? Whose coaching tree do you come from?
Exactly.
And this is why leadership is so important, because the impact is far and wide, both positive and negative.
Because so what we see here is, we got to have this discussion again. Part two, guys, tune in. Next Sunday at 8 o'clock, we'll be back on Wake Your Ass Up. I'm really, really so excited to have you on, Gene. It's Gene Baker. For everyone who's looking for him, he's on Instagram as well as on Facebook. Make sure you catch up with him. He's a phenomenal coach for speakers and anybody that's looking for leadership training. If you're looking for that accountability structure, I think you should reach out to them, because so many people are getting into these spaces where they call themselves leaders, but being a leader comes with the responsibility of other people evaluating your leadership skills, whether they fit for the people. Because let me tell you something that I know from a fact, from working in social welfare and justice. Let me tell you what leaders who are working in that area of helping people, the way that we evaluate is to look at not the income that you produce, but the outcome. What was the outcome of your leadership? What did you do to make ways for other people?
Yeah.
Leaders have to be people who are willing to die of themselves. Huey Newton said that. To become an advocate of change is to commit suicide of self. And what he meant by that is people have to live an unselfish life. You have to live for others and to know that your life is meant to change the lives of other people. And I don't think a lot of times people get into it. I think they get into it with the right reasons, the right heart. But then when you get into leadership and people are praising you and celebrating you, then you lose your mind and a different ambition strikes up, right? So there is a difference between everybody should be ambitious, right? You know, in life, we should all have ambition.
Yep.
And so, but what happens with leaders who are in position to help communities, they lose the lack of integrity that brings forth this is for the greater good of the people. The argument here is what is good for the greater, not for the lesser of, which is yourself, right? And so people lose balance on I'm doing this for the greater good of the people. And so when people can say to us, I don't work with young black kids because they don't have money, and that own businesses. These are young black kids that have entrepreneurship, ambition. They want to be entrepreneurs. They want to be capitalists. They want to get into the ring, right? And then somebody who's running an organization turns around and says, I have no interest in them because they don't have the kind of money that I need in order for me to become the great white hope leader that I'm trying to become. And for a leader to tell you that is so disheartening. You know what I'm saying? And no names taken. No, I'm not throwing names today. But I am saying that I literally sat down and heard leaders say this in the black community. How dare you sit at the table and say you represent the whole when you're really just a part. And the part that you are is a part of the problem, not the solution.
Not the solution.
Come on,
exactly.
Somebody.
Exactly. Ooh-wee, Tam.
I know.
Wake your ass up.
Well, it's been fun chatting with you. I got to run. I love it. I love it. You can hear the show today. It drops at 8 o'clock tonight. I am so excited to have this opportunity. Hopefully, you'll join me again. We'll talk about leadership. Once again, guys, this is your girl, Tam Lawrence, and my special, special guest here is Gene Baker. He is a leadership coach as well as trainer. In the corporate space, he's been there for like 20 plus years, and he's phenomenal. So you can't get any better than that. Look him up on Facebook and on Instagram, as well as look him up on LinkedIn, so you can check out his line of things that he's done in his career and his time. So Gene, I thank you so much for being here, and I hope that you'll come back. He's also the co-host of Keynote. So if you're trying to get on Keynote, make sure you reach out to Gene and let him know so he can get you in contact with their casting director. So I'm going to go because I got to go wake my ass up and get on to the next thing. But it's been fun working with you, talking with you, and we'll see you soon.
Yes, thanks, Tam. Take care.
All right, bye.